All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. And Lord willing, we're going to finish our introduction really here to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 2 weeks, come back and actually begin our progress through this chapter. Next week, as you know, is Easter. And then in the afternoon service, we have the opportunity to have the Lord's table. And before we had the situation with the possibility of the passing of a relative, we were going to have the Lord's table this morning in conjunction with the message. But, of course, that didn't work out. We're glad that it didn't work out so that our brother could visit his relative. But so, Lord willing, tomorrow, next week in the afternoon service, we'll have the Lord's table. I might finish some of those passages that I didn't get to finish here this morning. So 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm only going to read one verse here. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretively introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And so what I'm interested in here, as far as our introduction to this is concerned, is this little phrase, false teachers among you. And we took time 2 weeks ago to kind of survey just a few of the major prominent teachers within broad Christianity on the internet. It's not exhaustive. I'm not saying that every teacher who has a major following, more than just a few people, is false. But I just looked at some of the popular writers of today, and we took a look at the question, how to be saved, and we found out there was a wide variety of responses to that. And really responses that were not in agreement with the New Testament, the fact that we must be born again. And I do think among some of the other reasons that I did bring up is that believers do have a tendency, and there's a good aspect to this, believers have a tendency to read the best into their favorite speakers. And, of course, today we have an opportunity that previous generations didn't have. You can actually go on the worldwide internet and you can listen to just about who? Just about anybody. And what ends up happening is that people kind of compare their favorite speaker with their local pastor, and we always fail to measure up to anything like that. And so then if you speak about something, what you say is immediately compared to your favorite speakers on the internet, and this is just a fact of life. And so there's a good aspect to that. We shouldn't always be suspicious, right, about everything. But on the other hand, we do want to heed our Lord and Peter's admonition to beware, because there are false teachers among broad Christianity, professing Christianity. We might even say that, depending on the size of the church, that there would be false teachers even within a local church setting. We know that Paul himself, in the book of Acts, warned the church at Ephesus that after he left, what would happen? There would be wolves who come in, even men rising up among you, he says. And so there is this constant danger of this within local New Testament assemblies. I want to just read to you several verses to kind of prove that fact that we are to be on guard. Jesus spoke through the book of Luke, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." And so when you have godless people speaking well of a speaker, of a teacher, even if it's within Christianity, that is a yellow flag, is it not? When you have a major portion of godless America commending certain evangelists or certain teachers, that's not a positive, that's a warning. And so Jesus said, beware of that. In the book of Romans, chapter 16, he writes, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. Now listen. By their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. What would be the unsuspecting? Well, they would be people who aren't on guard. Right? A person that's not on guard just readily takes in. They are unsuspecting that there would be anything there, but those who are on guard would be aware. It says, for they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. How do they do that? With smooth and flattering words. And their smooth and flattering words are on teaching that they have not learned, contrary to the truth. So we need to be aware, beware, do we not? In the book of Philippians, he says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have seen in us. For many walk, do you hear the word many? For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds where? On earthly things. In other words, they're speaking of the earth, they're speaking about things natural to the earth, they're following their appetites. Meaning, it doesn't mean that they're just eating everything in sight. What it means is they're following their own lust, their own desires, their own appetites about life instead of the Scripture. Paul would warn Timothy in chapter 4, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. How so? Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. So he gives two doctrines there, right? There are evidences of this false teaching. And by that false teaching, some within Christianity, some will fall what? They will fall away. We need to be careful, do we not? We need to be discerning. We need to go from being a novice to maturity as rapidly as the Lord will permit in our lives so that we can be aware of those things. In Paul's last epistle to Timothy, twice he warns Timothy about false teaching. He says, concerning the last days when difficult times come, it says, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulsive, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just like Jandes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men, and they are learning men, These men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. That's a warning to Timothy. It's amazing, isn't it? These are men, nothing wrong with a PhD, if it's in the truth, but these are men who are well versed in theological, religious matters, who use their knowledge to oppose the truth. Do we have that today? We do have that today, do we not? He goes on in Timothy. He says again, for the time will come when the professing people of God, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled. Now listen to what they do. They accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. It's amazing, isn't it? They accumulate to themselves these teachers. Why would they do that? Well, if you have a majority of people agreeing with you, then you feel pretty secure in what you think, right? And so here are these people. Jesus himself states, and we've seen this in the book of Mark, that false teachers will arise. What is their aim? What is their purpose? Whether it's conscious or unconscious, it is this: to mislead people away from the truth and the life that is in Jesus Christ. That's their aim. That's their purpose. Does that happen? We have a situation in the book of Acts where Paul is preaching. And they had gone, this was very early in his first missionary journey, they had gone through the whole island of Crete as far as Paphos, and they found a magician. He was a Jewish man who was a false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus. And Paul's preaching to Sergius Paulus, a man of intellect, and he's preaching to that governor. And this man sought to turn the proconsul away from the faith. See, they're there to mislead people from the truth. And it's amazing, isn't it, how you could be witnessing to someone. Nobody had ever talked to them about religious things in years. You start talking to them and all of a sudden you've got this perspective and that perspective and this perspective and this person coming to them. Why? It's these false teachers. What's their aim? To mislead people so that they miss that narrow way and that straight gate. So that they are turned away from Jesus Christ. And folks, I want to remind you how Paul handled that situation. Now, I'm not saying that in every situation that you should do this, but listen to what Paul said. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that give you confidence that his response is God's response? Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon that man. And he said this, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." Is that strong? "Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" Now I'm going to pause here. That's what they're doing. They will take just a small sliver of doubt. They will take a simple truth like, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Is that simple? Is that straight? That cuts it straight, doesn't it? But they will say, "Yeah, but what about other religions? Yeah, but what about your grandfather? Yeah, but what about your mother on your dad's side? I mean, they were this type of religion. They were good people. What are they doing?" They're trying to take a straight path and make it what? Crooked. because their design is not to lead people into the truth. Their design is to mislead people away from the truth. And so Paul says to this man, now you won't be able to say this. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell on him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. When that man was removed, then the proconsul believed, when he saw what had happened, being amazed, not at the miracle, at the teaching of the Lord. Everybody hear that? And so here you do have this active engagement to turn people away from the truth. Now, this afternoon I want to look at two passages. And the first passage I want to look at is in the book of 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to return right back to Matthew chapter 7, where I concluded 2 weeks ago with our message. 1 John chapter 4. Here is this apostle, deemed the apostle of love. And he says to these believing people, this congregation of whom they had been rent asunder by a group that had departed from them, he says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Now, folks, when he says test the spirit, he doesn't mean that you're going to wake up in the morning, you know, or early, or in the nighttime sometime, and there's going to be this ghostly thing there, and it's going to speak some words to you, like happened in the book of Job, and you are, oh, this is a spirit, so I need to make sure that I discern whether this is right or not. When he says to test the spirit, he is referring to men. And you'll see that. Test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false what? He didn't say many false spirits have gone out in the world, did he? He said many false prophets have gone out into the world. A man or a woman or a boy or a girl has a spirit, do we not? Well, a false prophet or a false teacher has a spirit inside of them. And that spirit communicates. I don't mean that it takes over your body, but I mean whatever's on the inside comes what? It comes out. That's what preaching is. Okay? And so, don't believe every spirit, but do what? Put it to the test. That's why I tell you, open your Bible, look at what it says, look at those words, think about it. If you have questions, it's not my intention to preach anything in error, but I'm a man. Test the spirits, because, why should we do this? Because many false prophets and teachers have gone out into the world. And brethren, that was true in John's day. How much more today? Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In other words, what are they confessing? They're confessing the incarnation, are they not? They're confessing that the Son of God came down from heaven, are they not? They're confessing that the Son of God took on human flesh and human personality, are they not? They're confessing that God sent His Son to die for them, are they not? In other words, they're making much of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus. And like I mentioned before, a lot of times with false teachers is what they don't say. And so every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Now I just want to give a warning here. And I want to give a warning that has exceptions. Okay, so when I give this warning, I'm not saying that everybody who does this is a false teacher, but I do want to give us a warning. There can be a lot of talk about God in a ministry. God this, God that, God did this, God led me this way. But folks, he doesn't say that the man who confesses God, it's the man who talks a lot about who?
Jesus
Christ. Christ did this for me. He's Lord of all. He came down. He saved us from our sins. He led me. By His grace, I am what I am. I mean, you just read through your epistles. How many times do you read, in Christ Jesus, in the Lord? If any man confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, it's about who? It's about Him. And what God the Father did in sending His only begotten Son into the world. It's not just God talk. It's about Him. And again, I want to reemphasize that footnote. Just because, you know, you talk to someone for 5 minutes and they only mention Jesus one time, okay, doesn't make them a false teacher. But when you're in a ministry and over and over and over, and I listen for this, when I'm listening to men on the radio or on the television or I'm reading a sermon, who are they talking about? Who are they confessing? Is it just God's speech? Then I don't mark them down in the black category, but I do. I just, in the back of my mind, I just put, okay, here's a question mark. Until I know more about that man and his ministry. I think that's true even for individual believers. Individual believers can talk a lot about God. But who do they need to be talking about? Who do they need to be confessing?
Christ.
Jesus Christ the Lord. And so here we have that. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is of the Antichrist of which you heard that is coming and now is already in the world. Now listen to what he says here. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's the them? The false teachers. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Verse 5, they are from where? The world. Can a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, can they be of the world and be in a church? Answer is yes. They are of the world. And note verse 5, therefore, what do they speak about? The world. Folks, they'll take a Bible passage. And at the end of the day, what they're talking about is some kind of therapeutic understanding of that passage. They'll talk about, well, this is how the passage can make you get through the week. This is how the passage can help you. This is how the passage can cure your emotional distress. Now, there are passages that do that, are they or not? But that's what their message is day in and day out and day in and day out. It is of the world. And so they speak from the world because they are from the world. And who listens to them, folks? In verse 5, who gives them a hearing? The world. If you want to get a big crowd, talk it according to the world. Have the music from the world. Have the pulpit from the world. Oh yes, you got a Bible up there? But just do things from the world and you will get a hearing from what kind of people? People from the world. And folks, the opposite of that is true also. Look at verse 6. We, that is the apostolic company, we are from where? God.
He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here's how it works, brethren. We are of God. We is the apostolic company. Now, the apostolic company is not with us anymore, are they? But what did they leave us? Apostolic words. In other words, folks, people who know God listen to the words of God. This is exactly what Jesus said. My sheep, can you finish this? My sheep hear my, and they what? And a hireling they will not follow. Because they're not of the world. We are from God. They left us the word of God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. Now, I understand in saying that there's different maturities. There are different maturities within churches. But folks, the bottom line, if you want to know the difference between the spirit of the truth and the spirit of lie, the spirit of deceit, the spirit of error, it all centers around their response to this book. It's not whether they're good people or they're kind people or they're gentle people. It's their response to the Bible. Specifically, the apostolic words. People who know God listen to the Word of God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll conclude there. I mentioned in verses 15 and following, I'm just going to dip in and bring out some truths here. I had mentioned that Jesus admonishes every believer. In fact, he admonishes believers and unbelievers too, verse 15, to beware of the false prophets. So should we be on guard? The answer to that is what? Yes, we should. We should be discerning everything through the Scripture. In other words, there may not be an explicit verse about this, but the more you know God, the more it helps you to make those sound decisions. What does the Bible say? Well, note this. You will know them, verse 16, how? By their fruits. A good tree brings forth what kind of fruit? Good fruit. In other words, that's how you would evaluate a tree, right? In other words, if it has fruit, you go out and look at the fruit, and you look, is that fruit diseased? Is there something wrong with that fruit? Is it deformed? And if you see that, you think to yourself, there's something wrong with the tree, right? Well, folks, if there's bad fruit, it indicates what kind of tree? A bad tree, and if there's good fruit, that indicates that the tree is what? The tree is good. And people know that. A healthy tree produces healthy fruit. And a diseased tree will produce diseased fruit. So verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruits. Now, he's going to tell you how to make that discernment here in just a few moments. But what I want us to see here is this. We need to beware and be on guard, not suspicious, but not necessarily accepting of anyone who claims the Christian message or carries a Bible. Secondly, false prophets carry on their Christian ministry. Now, hear me carefully. They carry on their Christian ministry for Christ, rather than doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, they're doing what they're doing because they want to do something for who? For Christ. Instead of getting in the Scripture and finding
What is the will of who? What is the will of Christ's Father who is in heaven? Everybody see that? They're not concerned about the will of God, and he says that. Not everyone, verse 21, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody see that? Then in verse 22, he says, many will say to me that day, didn't I preach in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I perform many miracles? In other words, they're telling you what they've done for him. Not, I did what you said. Everybody see the difference in that? And so they want to do this. And they do address Jesus as Lord, Lord. It says, not everyone who says to who? To me. So it does imply that at least on occasional times they are what? They are praying. And they are using his name. Thirdly, many false prophets who do address Jesus as Lord, Lord, will stand before Jesus to protest. Did we not prophesy in your name? Now, this is probably foretelling, meaning prophetic utterance. They would have claimed that Jesus, the Lord, spoke by them. But did he? They claim Jesus spoke by them, but did he? Well, look at Jesus' response in verse 23. They're protesting, did we not prophesy in your name? Jesus will answer that protest. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you. Now note this. You who practice what? So externally, are they doing ministry, quote, for Christ, unquote? Yes. Are they having a Bible? Are they reading a verse? Are they quoting? Have they prayed? Are they addressing him as Lord, Lord? Well, the answer to that is yes, but what's going on the inside? Lawlessness is on the inside. This is exactly what our Lord mentions when he says, they come to you, verse 15, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous what? Ravenous wolves. Now, what does the word lawlessness mean? Well, the Greek term is very simply no law. And folks, that phrase describes in Psalm 2 the nations of the world when they say, let us tear his feathers apart and cast away their cords from us. Whose cords? Their cords. Who's the there? Yahweh and his Messiah. So folks, what are you hearing from the world in our nation today? Are you hearing from them, be disciplined, obey the law, obey Christ? Or are you hearing things like this? I don't care what 6,000 years of history, we're going to cast off male and female. Are you hearing that? Are people lining up behind that view? The answer is yes. People within broad Christianity are lining up behind that viewpoint. God calls homosexuality perversity. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. The world today is saying 6,000 years doesn't matter. We're going to cast that off and we're going to call homosexuality good. And if you disagree with that, you're the twisted one. You're on the wrong side of history. Are there men in broad evangelicalism that are changing their positions? Yes. You say, how could they do that? Because on the inside, they are lawless.
And folks, you know that. People obey laws because they think it's to their benefit. If you're riding down the road and you see a speed limit sign, you say, well, you know, I am in a hurry. I'm 5 minutes late for my appointment. I'm sure I probably won't get caught. And besides that, I'll be able to explain it. So let's go 90. Or if they're having a good day, you know, and they're just out for a ride, they're like, you know what, speed limit's 45, so let's go 40. I want to look at the trees. Are we not like that by nature? We are all like that by nature. I used to hear people say at work they would steal things from the company. And people say, oh, they won't miss it. They got the money. What if you had a whole nation doing that? It's lawlessness. And folks, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says this. Listen to this. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Why? Sin is lawlessness. So when Adam and Eve had the law, right? Eat of this tree, you shall surely die. When they ate of that tree, what were they saying? We don't want to be under that restriction. We don't want to be under that law. We can partake of this and it won't happen. And it did happen, didn't it? And folks, men and women are born that way. Babies are born that way. 1-year-olds are that way. Anybody's had children know that, right? They never say, I'm that way. But they say they're children that way. You don't have to teach your children to be lawless. It's natural. You have to teach them to eat with a fork. Otherwise, they just dive in. Now, when they're one, you say, oh, that's so cute. He's got cake all over his hair and all over his mouth. And you kind of pick him up and take him to the bathroom, dump him in the bathtub, wash him up, right? But what if they're 18? First of all, you can't pick them up that way. But if they're 18, you turn away from that like it's an abomination. It's lawless. Folks, when you go to a judge or you have a case before the Supreme Court, you don't expect those judges to change the definitions of all the words, do you? You expect them to read that law normatively. You expect them to uphold that law, not say, well, that's not how I want to define that word today. It's lawlessness. These people preaching, have an inward heart of lawlessness. They will tell you with so many words, and they may use the word grace. They'll say, you know what? You're not under all that restriction. That's legalism. Who wants to be a legalist? Not me. Grace frees you from all this. Grace frees you. They don't word it this way. Grace frees you so that you can practice your sensuality and it's okay because you're going home to heaven. It's lawlessness in the pulpit. Not only that, but men who are false prophets will address Jesus as Lord, Lord, and will stand before Jesus to protest this. We cast out devils in your name. They claim that the Lord Jesus cast out demons by them. But yet, what about these men? They are practicing what? Lawlessness. And folks, I want to say this very carefully, but I want you to hear me because when I got saved, I pilgrimed through a lot of this. I would not say that every instance of a man who's attempting to exorcise a demon out of another person is all fake. I would not say that. I would say the majority, perhaps, but I wouldn't say that. But it's not whether they do miracles, right? It's what is their stance to the words of God. To the law and to the testimony. If they don't speak according to that, then they are false. Not only that, but many false prophets who address Jesus as Lord, Lord, will stand before Jesus to protest this, that in your name we have performed many miracles. They claim that the Lord Jesus performed miracles by them, yet they practiced what? Lawlessness. Folks, the proof in the pudding is the confession and the regeneration of the heart. People who inwardly practice lawlessness, Jesus does not know. Everybody hear that? He doesn't know them. Now, His judgment's infallible, ours is not. But He does not know them. And folks, here's the problem. If you go back up to verse 15, here's the problem. The false prophets appear as genuine. It says, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." In their appearance, do they appear genuine? Are they dressed conservatively? Not all the time, right? But let's assume they can. You can dress in a coat and tie and be a devil, right? They come to you as if they are shepherds. That they will genuinely shepherd you, or as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 11. They appear as an angel of light. They know the terminology. They know the way to preach. In their appearance, they look genuine. They carry the Bible translation you prefer. They just have all the looks about them. You would never suspect them until you saw their inwardness. They are ravenous what? Mm-hmm. Folks, they're there to abuse you. They're there to take your money. They're there to mislead you. They're not there to lay down their life for you. Right? And folks, when we're talking about these false teachers, they are inwardly treacherous. They are in behavior without restraint. What is their fruit? Thorns, badness, thistles, immorality, sensuality, strife, outbursts of anger, drunkenness, parties, lust. That's what their life is all about. But it has a religious garb on the outside. It covers it over. There was a man many, many years ago. This was back in the 80s. And he was referring to a man who is still on television today. And this believer got quite enamored with this man. And he decided somewhere along the line that he'd like to work in this man's ministry. And he was telling me this. He said, I said, "Well, did you ever work in that man's ministry? And he said, no. I said, well, why not? I thought you wanted to work in that man's ministry. He was a very capable man in doing what he was trained to do. And this is what he said. He said, I observed that man on the set of the television and I saw strife. I saw yelling. I saw contention between him and his wife. And I knew this is not the ministry I need to be a part of. Wasn't that gracious of our Lord? How did he determine that? He saw the inside coming out. The fruit. Now on television, you'd never know it. It's all smiles. Everything programmed and taken care of. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, what is their fruit? How would you make that determination? Well, he tells us here as we conclude. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He begins this way. Therefore, since he's just given you this instruction on false prophets and false teachers and to beware of them, and he gives you the characteristics of those men, but they are men who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Everybody see that? These words of mine. And acts on them. All right, now if I hear his words and I act on them, I'm doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Am I right? Okay. Whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them can be compared to a wise man who built his house on a what? He's building his house on Christ. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it didn't fall because it was founded on a what? It had the right foundation. What's wrong with these false prophets? Wrong foundation. They may talk about him, they may mention Savior, they talk about God, but their lives are not built on a rock. How do you know that? Because when they read these words in their Bible, they're not acting on them. Everybody understand that? They may be able to tell you, like a factual man, what the Bible says about something. I mean, even lost people can say. You can ask them, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Lost people can read. Right? And they'll say, the Bible's unequivocal. It's a sin. But, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Same rain falling, same floods coming, same winds blowing, slamming against the house, but the house what? Falls. Why? Wrong foundation. Amen? Wrong foundation. And so folks, when we look at this, a true man of God will have a ministry that is reflective not of his own imaginations, not of him dreaming up some craft or some this or some that, not by appealing to men and women's natural instincts, not by being sensual or sensuality in his preaching, not making more of it than what it is so that people, you know, can just kind of follow in because they feel good and God was there because they have their emotions stirred. But their spirits are dead. They are reflective of the Word of God. They want their churches built on the Word of God. They want their people to be walking worthy of that walk that Christ has called us to be. They want you to know what the Bible says, not what they think it says. And folks, if you have a life and a ministry that is reflective of the Word of God, godless men will hate you. It's what Luke said, right? Woe to you when all men speak well of you. It's not that you love to be hated. You don't. You weep in secret. You groan in the spirit. It stabs you when people do things like that. But you can't get away from what he said. So be on guard. Amen? Be on guard, young people. Listen to people that are more mature than you are. That doesn't mean they're right, but listen to them. They've walked in this world longer than you have. I'm sure that if I was to ask all of our older people here, are there things you wish you knew at age 20 that you know now? We all would say what?
Yes.
What would we say?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's why God gives to us pastors and teachers after his own heart. So Lord willing, 2 weeks from now, we'll resume into our book of Peter and find out how Peter warns us against these false teachers. Let's pray.